You have to imagine that Yom Kippur is like a sound. So it's important how we started, and we started strongly and convinced this Kol Nidre, but it's also important how we finish. So it's not where we fasted and fasted and prayed and prayed and prayed, and we are about to finish. We can eat. So that would be completely a wrong performance. But to how we end is as important as how we start. So I start looking at Kol Nidre at the very end. We end with a shofar sound. So nobody has the last words, not the rabbi or the cantor. It's the last, what we hear is the shofar sound. Before that sound, we have that we say the Shema once, that we say three times, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Ba'ed, and seven times, Adonai Hu HaElohim. Adonai Hu HaElohim comes from a really great story. If you don't know it, it's really worth to read. It's where Eliyahu is in fight with several priests of Baal, and they start to do a sacrifice, and that fire comes, and it's Elias stands here and mocks and says, perhaps you have to shout louder and so. And in the end, Eliyahu makes his altar completely wet and God sends fire and the fire comes down from heaven. And then everybody says, wow, God is God. So this is the quote which we say at the end seven times, because seven is the number of something being complete. We have 7 days in a week and there are other sevens. And later, this is actually quite young, so what we have now is not the original Ne'ilah, but it's medieval. And even later, so the seven times the Lord is God, we think it's from the 13th century, so it's really medieval. And later, people added the Shema and Baruch Shem Kavod to really make it a good ending. Much older, that's in the Talmud, people discuss what shall we say at the end of Yom Kippur. And in the Talmud, they suggest that we should say, what are we, what is our life, which you have in your Machzor on page 528, but we come to that later. It's actually interesting that we talk about this at all, because when you think about all the services we learned in all the weekends we dealt with Yom Kippur, how many prayers, how many services do we have on Yom Kippur? Yeah, just let's think about it. We have Shacharit. What else? Mincha, Musaf. Gizkor is an addition, as we heard, so that doesn't count really as a service. So we have Shacharit, we have Musaf, we have Mincha, and don't forget the evening. Eretz, Kol Nidre. No, Kol Nidre is the first. Shacharit, Musaf, Mincha. Ne'ilah is not an evening service, because actually there would be Erev Ma'ariv for the next day, which traditional synagogues do. So after you finish Yom Kippur, you start with the next day with Ma'ariv. Ne'ilah is nothing of that. So it's something between Mincha and Ma'ariv, an additional prayer time. The Mishnah mentions that, and the Mishnah says there are three occasions where the benediction, the priestly benediction, is said four times and not three times. So we have four times Amidah, not three times. And on these three occasions, you have it in the morning, Musaf, afternoon, and Ne'ilat She'arim. And Ne'ilat She'arim means closing of the gates, because we need a name for that time. I mean, Ma'arif is also, it means in the... it's from a prayer, actually, but it's from Ma'ariv Arabim. So how do we, what's the name of this additional prayer? So we call it closing of the gates, which means the closing of the temple gates. And what are the three occasions where we have this...
Hang on.
No. Three occasions where we have an additional prayer between Mincha and Ma'ariv of the next day. And what are these three occasions where you have Ne'ilah?
Could you
Mishnah says there are three occasions where you have Shacharit, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah. The others are the past day, but actually not today. But in the time of the Mishnah, it was typical for a fast day to have an additional prayer time. And actually in Islam, during Ramadan, that's still also the case, that they have a night prayer additional to their five. So it belongs to a fast day that you have an additional prayer. And also completely forgotten, on days where the Ma'amat meets, so don't remember that, that's a historical thing, that when the priest was in the temple, the people in the city met, so completely forgotten. All what is left over is Yom Kippur, but remember that it wasn't originally the only thing, it wasn't special for Yom Kippur, but it was special for fast days.
Unless, mm-hmm. Do we have to write it, or do we get
I don't have a PowerPoint presentation because it's not.
It's being recorded, and you can hear it back.
Can you slow down a bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the five prayers of Yom Kippur, yes, is Erev Yom Kippur, which is called Kol Nidrei. Yeah. Shacharit Yom Kippur. Yeah. Musaf, because it's a special day. Mincha, because you always have Mincha anyway. And Ne'ilat She'arim, because it's a fast day. If the prayer is called Ne'ilat She'arim, closing of the gates, people already in Talmudic times, so that's an old discussion, started to debate what gates are closed. So it was the time when the temple gates are closed, but people also understood it, what you mentioned, the time when the gates of heaven closes. And from that, there's a very special emotion connected to Ne'ilah. The one emotion is a kind of urgency. The gates will close, so before the closing, you have to do something. And it's something definite before the closing. The other feeling comes from that the Amidah, that there is a special Ne'ilah Amidah. Actually, the whole Ne'ilah service, it's not very complicated. It's the Amidah with something before it and after it, but very short pieces. So it's mainly the Amidah and a piece before it, a piece after it, and an introduction and a closing. This wait, close, and final. And in the Amidah, you remember that on the High Holiday Amidah, what is the difference compared, for example, to the Shabbat or the weekday Amidah on High Holidays in the Amidah? Do you remember what is really different? Except the part in the middle, that's clear. Yeah. But in the first three and the last three blessings. What text is different? There are lines, yeah? There are inserted lines. For example, Zohreinu. And it ends with, please write us in the book of life. And often they have, please write us. In the Ilah, it's similar lines, so you don't have to learn completely new stuff, but pay attention, because it's not write us, but seal us. Seal. So that's definite, that's putting a stamp on something. Yeah?
Also, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So every you don't say write anymore, you say seal. So the emotions are, there's a kind of urgency, there's a kind of definite, final. So it's really a very special emotion. And in contrast to other prayers, which you say during the day, we don't mention fasting. And the interesting thing is that we are not hungry during Ne'ilah anyway. We are hungry during Mincha. But Ne'ilah, it's a strange thing. So we don't mention fasting. We don't mention sacrifices, as we did in Mincha, when we remembered, or also in Sha'arit, when we remembered the Avodah service. That's all not important. The important thing, we could think about when we don't have much time, and when it's all about, we have to be final and definite. What would you say is the thing on Yom Kippur which we should focus when we don't have much time, before the closing of everything? What is the most important to focus on? From the whole day, from everything we did.
Putting on the soup early enough.
But what about ourselves?
The muscle ball?
Yeah. I would say it's not so much about feelings, but also about the result of the feelings. That we change our lives. That next year is not the same as last year, but that we really are different and behave different, be better. So we focus on repentance And that's what Ne'ilah, you will see it in the text, yeah, that it's God opens a possibility, a final possibility, stretches out his hand. Now, the last chance to repent and to make it, to finalize that. And then we hear the shofar at the end, which proclaims freedom. It's now a new year. You can start anew. Before we look at our siddur, of our machzor, which is what David will do, let me tell you what other synagogues do, just very briefly, because that's just for, there are different possibilities to do that. You can give the whole service different emotions. For example, the Reform synagogues in Great Britain, they do Ne'ilah as if it would be a calm evening reflection. You see it from the way they printed the prayer book, is that they have pictures which, okay, you see it, it's a dark, it's evening scenes, long shadows, dark, so it's evening, we reflect about ourselves, and they start the Ne'ilah service with a meditation. Ne'ilah has come, and soon the gates of mercy will close. Question is, will that be? That which is done and can never be recalled. For time alone does not heal the wounds we bear, nor the wounds we cause. We have prayed a little, we have grieved a little, asked for much forgiveness, done much less to earn it. Our sins are not cast into the depths of the sea, and no scapegoat has borne them into the desert. They are still with us, our familiar, unwelcome companions, riveted to our souls. Therefore, we turn aside from our cleverness, our self-reliance, and our pride, and come to you as poor people who receive, as homeless folk who seek your shelter, as failures who cannot least admit their failure. The day is ending, and we can no longer rely on our own good deeds, but on your goodwill. Our minds no longer run about to seek you, but wait in patience for you to find us. As the gates of mercy close, we know each of us is precious in your sight. You are our hope. So that's one possibility to make it meaningful. What have we done? Is it enough? What will be the next steps before us? Another possibility is that the same movement did, instead of doing another vidui, and we will hear later that we have the Ashamnu, but we don't have the Achet. We have a different text for the Achet, which David will show you. And there's one movement in Great Britain who says, well, instead of this, instead of another Ashamnu, I think it is, we have a silent confession to think about, and it goes, I have stumbled through so many prayers today and uttered so many words that I lost touch with much of their meaning. I am bewildered by their certainties and their demands. That this confession at least be true and be my own prayer. For me, this is a bit, the breath is now at the end. It's, I said so many words, I don't know the meaning anymore, so it's all meaningless somehow. So let this at least, although I can't, I don't have the force anymore to do something, but do something, God, so we rely now completely on you. Or, and that's my final example, the liberal synagogues in Great Britain, they have a text which says, remember the unopened doors, enter them before they close. We live only once. The corridor of life stretches before us.
Kafka.
The gates do not stand open forever as we walk down the corridor that shuts behind us. That's Milton Steinberg. But think about life. Life is that there is a door that will close, so what do you do before that closing door? And now let's see what you do here and what our master teaches us to think about Ne'ilah.
Kafka is the story of the law, the man in front of the gates, and the gatekeeper. Huh?
Yeah.
And when he's dying, he says, this door was meant for you, you were the only one that could go in. Het laatste woord is nog niet gesproken, de laatste zin nog niet geschreven, en het eindelijke oordeel nog niet bevestigd. Het is nooit te laat voor me om mijn gedachten te veranderen en mijn manier van leven. Nee te zeggen tegen het verleden en ja tegen de toekomst. Berouw te tonen, vergeving te vragen en te geven. Het is nooit te laat om opnieuw te beginnen, opnieuw te voelen, opnieuw lief te hebben, opnieuw te hopen. That's right at the end of the Ne'ilah text from Holy School of Ice. Joseph's thought was very suitable right at that end. You mentioned Ne'ilat Shearim, the closing of the temple gates and the closing of the heavenly gates. The Talmud actually says there's an hour difference between the sun setting on the treetops when you should start in Ne'ilah, Rava, I think that was, and it actually gets dark and the sun is set. That is the time for Ne'ilah. You have it Pesach, the Erev Pesach, the Ben Ha'arba'im, the moment for bringing the offering, between the evenings, in the mixture, just as the sun is setting, in that magical moment in the special light. So in that time in between, that's where you do the Ne'ilah. You have that formulated in the text itself at the beginning of the Slichot. Normally you use the Slichot begin with the Kaper Chataenu, and then you go in that whole section with the Vidui. Here it begins a little bit earlier on page 543, and the text is Ptach Lanu Sha'ar, open for us the gates now that the gates are closing.
And that's an hour before.
Well, the Ne'ilah, we take longer for Ne'ilah.
Yeah, but then if you would do it, then that would be an hour before you should close.
No, when you start the Ne'ilah itself. This is just an illustration of the imagery of that closing gate.
Yeah.
This is the beginning of the main part of the fourth Amidah. The fourth brachei Amidah, the theme, the central theme of the day, and in the Ne'ilah, it's introduced in a different way with this Ptach Lanu Sha'ar. And when the gates are closing, of course, then it's finished with prayers and with forgiving and everything. But tradition also says when God closes a door, he always opens a window. You know, the Lionel Blue wrote a book called, you know, Through the Back Door into Heaven, about that black angel that did everything he was not supposed to do, and he found the sinners and he smuggled them in through the kitchen door, you know. There are ways. So the window stays open until Hoshana Rabbah is really the last day. That's Erev Simchat Torah. Erev Shemitat Tzeret. So, 7th day of Sukkot. If on the way home you say, I should have, and now I will, you know, chance is still there. It's never too late. It's never too late. Every day should be Yom Kippur. Now, if we look at the beginning, we come back to the Ptach Lanu Sha'ar. Page 510, if you have a fairly recent book. In the earlier, we used El Nora Alila, but it was never in the Machzor.
Oh, really?
If you look, here it is, still, yes. Right, so this is the reprinted, yeah.
It's a different print, it's not the...
Yes, that's right. El Nora Alila is a butte. You can listen to it on the internet, YouTube, Moroccan children with all the bells and the wrinkles. It sounds like Israeli bus station music. It's different from the way we do it, the North African one. If you like that stuff, it's still nice. It was introduced, I think, with us by Hassan Hara Herrera, who was from the Portuguese community, the house painter turned Chazan, who had a very nice voice, And the oldest recordings we have of the music of the Elegei, that's from him. And he brought in a number of Sephardi influences. And this is one of them. And when I got here and asked him, what is this thing? You know, everybody was surprised because this is Ne'ilah. The moment you hear El Nor Alilah starting, Ne'ilah is there. And it's again a prayer, God of mighty deeds. Now that we come to the last moment of forgiving, you know, please forgive us and forget how sinful we are and how bad we are. You know, again, show your capacity to forgive. I should really put a translation in here also. But if you look in the last but one, Zochor Tzidkat Avihem, remember the Verdienste of the fathers. That's the Zochot Avot concept. V'chadesh et Yemehem kekedem. You recognize the words? Renew the days as before, closing the ark with the of the Torah put back. Known formulations again. So this is an introduction which belongs to the Sephardi tradition. Then you get, in the same way you start the Mincha, the Ashrei. No, it's not a Mincha. It's not a Mincha, but the introduction to it is the same as with the Mincha. Ashrei Yoshev V'techa, or Yalav Chasela, and then the Psalm. Then you get what you don't have in the Mincha, the Uva L'Tzion.
Shabbat Mincha.
Which is a messianic text. If you look at the end of it, on the next page, the last word of the third line. Sorry, the third line. Baruch HaGever Hashem Yiftach Badnai V'Hayad Nai Miftacho. Yeah, where does that come from? Where do you recognize that from?
The bench.
From the bench, right? And then it carries on here. Itchu Badnai Adayad Kiviya Adnai Tzur Olamim V'Yiftachu V'Chad Yodei Shemecha Kilo Asafta Doroshech Adnai Adnai Chafetz Leman Tzidko Yagil Torah V'Yadia. Except for that end, in the bench book, I think we have this version also. The old Sutton used this one instead of Nar Hayiti Gam Sakanti, which he didn't particularly like. Here is where it comes from, the continuation from the same Baruch HaGever. So you come across it in different places, right? But this is the origin. Now the history of Yashim Ha, I don't know. To be quite honest, I was relying on you to tell us what Yashim Ha is.
Oh, that's by Yehudah Levi, and
yeah,
it's, there was a poem that was read in many synagogues. It is an introduction to the Kaddish, or actually a reshut, a kind of permission taking. The Chazan takes permission to chant the Kaddish. Kaddish was considered such an important prayer, especially on Ne'ilah, that you needed some kind of an introduction. And you see that every stanza ends with Ishtabach v'itpar v'itromam v'itnase, which is part of the Kaddish. And so in various congregations they did insert it. Before it was in the Sephardic Sidurim, was not in the Ashkenazi Sidurim until the Reformation. The Reformation, or actually the moderate Reformation, inserted it here as part of as an introduction for the Kaddish Ne'ilah. And it's written by Yehudah Levi, and you can see his.
Says the chalk, yes.
You can see the acrostics Yashim Ha Yud Hagar Kevod Hey. Vav umi emalel, and Devar Geburatecha is Dalet, and Hey Ishtonen, It is a beautiful, beautiful poem, which is written in a very, an excellent virtuoso manner. You can see that there is a rhyming which goes se 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 in the first verse, but there is also yashimcha aromimcha. He'ezanti ve'emanti lo eshal ve'ech yomer kli chomer el yotzo. There is a double rhyming there, and according to it has a certain rhythm which goes according to the Spanish Jewish way of short and long syllables. So it should be Ya Shimcha Arom Mimcha Vetzit Katcha Loach Hase He'ezanti Ve'emanti Lo Eshal Ve'lo Ach Anase Ve'ech Yomer Keli Chomer Elei Yotzo Mata Ase. It's an excellent rhythmical pattern that goes all the way through the entire thing. It's one of the, from point of view of technical poetical structure, it's one of the highlights of Yehuda Halevi's songs. But in addition to that, there are ideas, some beautiful ideas there, which describe the great awe that people have when they think of what God's deeds are on this earth. So I don't want to belabor it, but look at the last verse. He says, Hishtonen vehikonen vehitbonen besodecha vehibateta ma'ata ume'ayin yesodecha. He says, wonder and prepare yourself and look into the secrets of God.
Let me read the Dutch, because they've done it very well.
Okay.
Overweeg het, overpeins het, in het diepst van uw geest, wat ge zijt, neergeworteld, die u bezielt, die z'n almacht u huiveren doet. Sla uw ogen naar Gods werken, laat een die uw huid in groet zetten, door voor zijn schepping en haar ordening, aan hemzelf, raken uw gedachten niet. Het is de ritme in de vertaling.
Het is de rhythm in de translation.
Good translators.
But the main, the wonderful conclusion, the main idea from a political point of view, which says, Chakor pe'alav, investigate God's deeds on this earth or everywhere in the universe, you can investigate that. That is a religious task, to investigate what God does. So every science is religion for Yehuda Halevi. Rak elav, only to God, al tishlach yadcha. You remember, al tishlach yadcha is a quotation from the Akedah. Al tishlach yadcha lanar. Do not send your hand to that boy. Do not send your hand to God. Ki tidrosh besof uberosh bamufla ubechose. That you are not allowed to place your hand upon God and try to figure out what is the beginning of God, what is the end of God, what is the wondrous thing about God, and what is hidden from human beings. This is what you're not allowed to do. You're allowed to see God through the mirror of the things that are done on this earth. This is the idea. So it's a beautiful poem, and therefore rightfully put by the Reform movement before the Kaddish of Ne'ilah.
What happened in the New American Prayer Book?
It has it, yes?
Yeah,
it has it with mistakes, but it has it.
It originally was meant to for women's voices.
That's right. That's what you said that before. I was going to ask this. I don't know if it was meant for it.
No, it was not meant for it. Yehuda Halevi certainly did not mean it for women.
He's used to it. But in the... He's used to it.
Listen.
In Berlin, where Lewandowski was, there was a custom that if there was a prominent woman who could sing very, very well, she would take this, she would introduce the this song. She would sing this song. And one of them was the...
Paula Lindbergh.
Who came here to... So she would do that. Nila for Lewandowski's congregation was a time for many experiments, not the usual thing. So that's why you have the Kedusha, the Deutsche Kedusha.
Yeah. We'll get there in a moment. Well, we had this, in Amsterdam it was tradition, long time, that we had a good soprano sing this, Steve Schwartz. Yeah, who was a countertenor, has also sung it for several years, yes. Yes.
Oh. The funny thing was, people who came into shul always thought it was a female singer.
Yeah.
Nobody knew it was male.
Because
he
was up with the choir.
He was up with the choir.
He's a very high voice.
Yeah.
But he disappeared all of a sudden.
Yeah. But this is...
Yeah.
Like this.
He went to America and never came back.
Yeah. We have two other Stephen Schwartzes instead, so, but they don't sing so well. Anyway, this is also one of the very special, musically also very special pieces in the Nila that make the Nila to the Nila, which makes it to once a year. Mm-hmm. You get here the pieces that compare somehow to the Kolindra pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, once a year, these very special, beautiful melodies.
Also the Nila Kaddish.
Which, as far as text goes, is regular. Eila Ola Eila. Somebody sang the Eila Ola Eila last night with the Kaddish, and
yeah.
I thought, ah. She's learned this for the high holidays, and then suddenly the ukulele wasn't there. Right? Yeah. It's as difficult it is as when you say Kaddish on the high holidays with the congregation, but there is Leila Ulele, and they all get lost. So you have to be very quick with the Leila Ulele. Yeah. We will now, and later, I think, skip over the Silent Amida, because the changes are the same as in the spoken Amida. Well, I'm getting to the other one. We'll deal with the Amida, but I'll take the repeat at once.
Yeah.
Hang on. You're not talking about the Kaddish.
No,
we're talking about the... idea what they do in Utrecht, but Utrecht clearly doesn't belong to the Eliyahes. No. If they don't sing this Yashimcha, they're out of the club.
It's the same as a different melody for Kol Nidre.
Yes. Page 533. The Amida. And here you get the textual changes. The first part, the first four lines, are the same. Then you have the bits and the additions, piyutim, that enter into these, which are, with us, very limited. Here you have two lines, music on the website. You come to the Socheinu, which you know, but here, Zogenu lechaim melech hafespachayim v'chotmenu. Where all the others is v'chotmenu. And v'chotmenu, v'chotmenu, bezeger ons in het boek. Atagibor. And again, we have here, as they did in the 1964 edition, on the second line, introducing Mashiv HaRuach Umurid HaTal VeHagashem, and this is a combination of what you do in the winter time and in the summertime to use it all through the years. We've thrown that out again, and since this is before Sukkot Simchat Torah, I have a line right through and say, don't sing it.
Where does this come from?
I don't know. I think it is a certain Dopey mention. I don't know if he got it from somewhere, but it was to make it easier for people, always the same. If you look in the book, you have nothing here. You have nothing in the book here or in the old Siddur, which says here at this time of year on these days you add this or you leave this out. It's all right through the old Shabbat book also. All these variations in different days were all kicked out.
But there may be an old American library.
Could well be.
Good question.
Yeah.
Could be.
I don't know. I don't know. I've never seen it anywhere else, but that doesn't mean anything. No. Then we have again on the top of 535 inserted in the Gvorot, because the Micha Mocha and the Mechayimetim is the next bit. It's confusing with the Dutch in between, because it's all one piece. And then you have here a Yashimcha text, which does not belong to the Yashimcha. I don't know what somebody invents something or improvises or does something with it.
12th century Germany.
12th century Germany. No. It's not there. It's not in, yeah. So in the music is not there, and therefore either you improvise something.
It's on the website.
Right. Okay. So now it's on the website. Very good. Okay.
And then, it's part of a much, much longer poem.
It's a remnant. It's a remnant. Like so many of these things, there are remnants of longer poems and things taken out. And then you get the Kedusha. And in the later editions, it says in Amsterdam, and sometimes in other congregations, you continue on page 537. And it was written like that because the books were made in Amsterdam. And come on. If Amsterdam does it, everybody should do it. Yeah. And then we get the German Kedusha. What's the story of the German Kedusha? The Deutsche Kedusha. The American is called the English Kedusha. And they sing it in English, I think. Yeah.
Well, the idea was to once a year to present a Kedusha which would reflect on the aspirations of German Jews after the emancipation, to somehow honor the emancipation and what German Jews felt after they became equal citizens. And so the Kedusha text preserved the Kadosh Kadosh Baruch Kvod Adonai Mikomo Shema Yisrael and gave it a new interpretation. And the interpretation is first of all has to do with the hope of Israel, and you have a translation here. The
You don't have a Dutch translation here.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yes. On page 538.
538. Okay. Fine. Yeah. So, first of all, the idea is that every verse represents some of the ideas of the emancipation of the Jews. The first one is the idea that the song of human beings is not less but even more than the songs of the of the angels, and then that the entire nature sings Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And that's the idea that the Jewish people become part of nature, and nature praise God. Jews and nature praise God like the angels, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And the idea of nature like that, and the place of the Jewish people, was not in the traditional. It's only that we identify with the angels, but not that the nature is doing that. And then the Baruch Kavod Adonai Mimkomo is interpreted as the unique mission of Israel to be a light unto the nations, and to carry the banner. And to carry the banner of in the German it does say here, it doesn't say the banner. To carry the banner of the true faith in God. Here it doesn't say any the banner, but that's what it says in German. And so that's the idea, which culminates with the text Baruch Kevod Adonai Mimkomo. And then the next text is the history. We had a dark history, and we were killed and persecuted, but and we never forgot your name, and we always said Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. However, we are now into a new phase. That new phase is we are out of martyrdom, we're out of persecution, and we know that God will light our way and will save us forever, as it is says, Yimloch Adonai Leolam Eloheich Tzion Leodom Vador Alleluia, and God will be king over all the universe, and that would be the real messianic time. So that is the idea of the Kedushah. And saying it in German was had already a tremendous impact on it. Plus the beautiful music by Lewandowski, the words and the music became so important that the German Jews carried everywhere they went. In Australia, they used to sing it in German until, say, 30 years ago. And in Cincinnati, in other places, they where there used to be a German Jewish faction, they used to say it in many synagogues until very recently in German. And in some places, it translated it into the vernacular language. So there is an English translation, as you mentioned, and there is, of course, the Dutch. The Dutch rendition to that, and the idea of putting it into Hebrew is a very bold one. And what's that Suttendorp's idea?
Yes.
To put it in Hebrew and restore the Kedushah in this way. And unfortunately, of course, for the German Jews, it did not work out as well as they wanted to.
But in this country, see, to sing German in the synagogue after the Shoah,
yeah,
you know,
would be unheard of.
Even with the congregation, which consisted of a lot of German refugees, but yeah, them also, yeah, please.
So you sing it in Hebrew?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Nice.
And you, if you come in the German refugee synagogues around the world, in the Ari, in Rio, or in Melbourne, Temple Israel, or in Toronto,
yeah,
or in others, and you will hear the same melodies, the same kedusha, and the same things. Like so much of the Shabbat melodies are the same. So, like coming home. interesting. In Bristol Square.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In London. It's interesting. It's one of those elements that belong specifically to the to that tradition, like the Upper Melech before the sermon in the evenings, Rosh Hashanah and Kol Nidre. So be careful with them. Now that's the Kiddusha. After Kiddusha, it carries on like you're used to with Uvechen, 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 Vetimloch, Atavachatanu, and Na Atavachatanu, it is Yale Viavo, which in the meantime you also know, and then we get to the section where you would expect Kapechatainu. You get to the place where you would expect Kapechatainu, and there is no Kapechatainu yet. Yes, you get Ptach Lanu Shaar, Opros the Poort, you report, Haast wordt gesloten, want de dag gaat heen. And then is the prayer here, I have something very different, but on the same kind of theme. Almighty God, now the gates, please keep the gates of mercy open, now that the gates of light are closing and the day ends. So it's let there be peace and quiet in our hearts, and let us be aware that we have reached atonement and with you, and that you are close to us. And may your love be felt to everybody who are downhearted and so on. So this is a text, and it's followed by two lines, B'motzei Menucha, and then you have Adonai Adonai El Rachum V'Chanun. The Adonai Adonai is an end piece to each series of Slichot things, I think.
This particular one is there is a long poem, Eskira Elohim VeMaya, by Amitai Ben Shafatia. It's a medieval poem which was inserted in the Ashkenazi prayer Machzorim, and it ends with, O God, collect all the tears of the people Israel in a bag, and because you are Adonai Adonai El Rachum V'Chanun, and that leads directly into Adonai Adonai El Rachum V'Chanun. So out of, so from this poem was taken out of the prayer book in the Reform movement. So what remains is the Adonai Adonai El Rachum V'Chanun that follows it.
I have raped the book because I use pieces of it in the middle of another piyut a bit later on. Where it doesn't really doesn't belong, but I didn't know what to do with this text, so I had to invent something. But here it ends. So you have the Adonai Adonai comes. See, that's the only time we have it in the Nila.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we get another poem, which I'm not quite sure what it is, but that's true for many of these piyutim. We have melodies. We have melodies from the Yisrael no Shabbat night, and he says the ark is closed.
Yeah.
And what we do is the Chana sings, and they close the ark, and he just carries on, or she carries on singing, because it's really one text. So while the Aron is closed, during the singing. And then on page 545 is another musical piece which I found back from Paolo Goring. Yes?
Five. But I didn't understand the question.
Well.
Ah, so nobody
skipped
it. Nobody, okay.
Nobody?
No.
Right, so I made a mistake in the typing. Typing error. Typing error.
I would like to comment something about the closing of the ark.
Yes?
Yeah. Traditionally, the ark is supposed to be open for the entire Leila service.
Yes.
Traditionally, the entire Leila service.
Careful, please.
Yeah. Traditionally, the ark is supposed to be open for the entire Leila service. That means that according to custom, everybody should be standing for the Leila service from beginning to end. And in some congregations they really do that, and everybody stands from beginning to end of the Ne'ilah service. However, it was found that it's really too much at the end of Yom Kippur, when people are weak to even in a regular service. It's very difficult. Yom Kippur Ne'ilah service, although not very long, is still long, and therefore there were all sorts of solutions about what you do in such a case. In some conservative synagogues, they still have the ark open, and they say to the congregation, the rabbi says to the congregation, that if you feel that you're weak, you are allowed to sit down, although the ark is open. In Reformed congregations, they limited the opening of the ark at various stages. So in your case, you have it here on page 544, and in other Reform who are more daring, it's immediately after the Kedusha, or after Ha'el HaMelech HaKadosh, when you're on page 541. 541, after the Bracha of the Kedusha, before Atah V'Charetanu Mikol HaAmim, that's the place to close the ark. So every local tradition has tried to find solutions to that problem. And then, in that case, the ark, I don't know what your practice is, but I have to look at the Machzor again. The ark is reopened for Avinu Malkeinu at the end, and remains open until the end of Tkiyat Shofar, or the Shofar blowing. And then the ark is closed.
Okay. So, on page 547, in Kat Besaldecha, I found this from Italy and France in the 11th and the 13th century, a compilation of different kinds of verses from different places. Not very much left of it here, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And Zohar Lanu is supposed to be from Rabbeinu Gershom. Now, that has that's a problem. The Hebrew text on 548, the second paragraph, Avadnu me'eretz tova b'chipazon. We were expelled from our country because of our sins, which is a good old tradition that everything we do, everything evil that happens to us is because of our own behavior. Nay? Yeah. It's within a nuance theory, yeah. But if you, if you imagine the thinking around Tisha B'Av and all the things that happened, in particular, again, you have the post-Shoah discussion of Zero Fault. And that's a whole attitude, I think, which I had an instinctive dislike to this piece. And then it says, open the ark and close the ark, which means you have to do something there, unless you forget it.
Yeah,
and then you get all kinds of questions. Yes?
And then you said in the last lecture, you can also skip it.
I probably did, yes. Very likely, yeah. What I've done is I used the other poem that was removed, and I have made a different text, which you can have, which relates, again, history and leading back into Israel today, and so on. And that is also being in text relating to the present situation, something you have to watch what you do, because the situations change, and you maybe have to watch your wording. But that's for me a problematic piece. On page 550, yeah, we have one again the continuation of a whole collection of verses, which leads you into Kapeh Chataenu. And from Kapeh Chataenu, it goes the way you know it until and including Ashamnu, and then on page 556, Archet disappeared. And instead of that, you get Atan Noten Yad. That's the last line on that page. And on the next page at the bottom, Ata Hivdalta Enosh Mirosh. And these are two...
And I lost you with the last thing, which you said...
556 at the bottom, Atan Noten Yad, you reach out your hand to the sinners. And on the next page, Ata Hivdalta Enosh Mirosh. This is the bottom, the second line from the bottom. The last two lines are 557.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Now, the two pieces belong together. The first one you may know. If on Shabbat or on Yom Kippur morning, you do the morning prayers and don't skip too much in the beginning, you will recognize the text. Any idea where it comes? The continuation of Atan Noten Yod Leforshim. Wat zijn wij? Wat is ons leven? Wat is onze trouw? Wat is onze rechtvaardigheid? Wat is ons heil? Wat is onze kracht? Onze sterkte? Wat zouden we voor u kunnen zeggen? Zijn niet alle helden niets voor u? Mannen van grote faam, dat hadden ze nooit bestaan. Herkennen jullie dat? You're just in love with that thing, aren't you?
Sing it again.
But it fits. Page 219. You have it here, and you have it on Shabbat. If you look at the beginning, let's begin at 2:16. Adon Olam, Elohai Neshama, the morning, Brachot, the Hiratzon, and then you get the Olam Yehi Adam Yerei Shamayim Baseter Umodeh Al HaEmet, yes? And then you get the text, Ribon Kol HaOlamim, right? Okay, you have that kind of thing also. And then you have the text here. It's the same text you have in the Ne'ilah. Right? Which means human being is really nothing. Yeah, that's right. What are we? What does your life mean? What is your really power? Yeah, you know. It is not to say that we're very humble, very low. Yes?
May I add something to that? It's similar to the end of Avinu Malkeinu, where we say, Lo Vanu Ma'asim, we don't have deeds, which is strange to say, but it's that we put everything on the scale, so yeah. We can't do nothing. You got
this is a theme. This is a new theme, in some ways, in the Ni'ila. Until now, we've had this: we are sinners, we are bad, and please forgive us. It's been through Yom Kippur. Here you have this again, which does not talk about being sinners. It talks about the limited possibilities of people, of yourself. What can you do? Be humble, ootmoed, laag, voorzichtig, yeah? Afhankelijk. And then you get Atahiv Dalta Enosh Mirosh. But you have made man above creation, little lower than the angels. You're really capable of doing great things. So there is a turn in the text here. It does not say you're incapable. It says you are very capable, even though you may feel low by the ground and so dependent on this forgiveness and what happens to you and all the forces from outside, and what can I do about it? It says, and he turns, yes, we can.
Change.
Right? That's the message of Yom Kippur. Change.
In a moment.
If you go back to where we were in the Shacharit, you have the same thing there again. 219. Who are we? What's our power? What can we do? It ends in the end. Aval anachnu amachav bnei Yisrael. But we are your people, Israel. We have great yichus. Yeah. And then lifichach. And because we have all this power, therefore we thank you, because we are able to do it. And here it comes, right, the same thing. We have to ask forgiveness for what we do wrong, but we can do it better. And that's the power of the text that follows. And it says, whatever God is opening the door, he doesn't want the sinner to be punished. He wants to turn around and live a good life. You know, why do you put somebody in prison? To punish him or to reform him, bring him back into society as a useful member of society? Bring him back into society, that's the way you should do. Sorry.
I don't know, there's a Hasidic saying that every person should have two...
That's my next sentence.
Okay, go ahead.
The two pockets.
Right.
And in one you have a piece of paper which says, I'm Ibrahim Astofanas, I'm worthless. That's the piece you look at when you feel really high and great and happy. And when you feel really down and out, you take out the other one which says, for you the world was created. Yeah. And that's the balance. But the balance here moves the other way. And the Ni'ilah message is, you can do it. It's not too late. Get going. Now it's time for decision and make it. And you can do it. Yes, we can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And that's the message that comes back in the Ni'ilah, stronger and stronger and stronger. And the time is getting pressing. This is the moment for the decision. And make it, because you can do it. Huh? Which means it does not just come in the place of the Al-Khet. Al-Khet is, look at all the bad things I do. Here it is, look at all the chances I have, the power I have, what I am able to achieve.
So
it's still there, but not the Al-Khet.
What's the main difference between the Ashamnu and the Al-Khet? I mean,
the Ashamnu is partly what we inherited.
Yeah.
It's clothes from the prophets.
Yeah.
So that we are.
But is it less? It does not mean that the whole sin area, making mistakes, needing forgiveness, is gone. It just means you're not entirely dependent only on that. You have you're there yourself also. You have your own power, your own decision, your own will to make things better. And that gets dominant tone here. Because the Adma's also the Atam no ten yad le poshim, you reach out to the people who have done wrong. Which means if you've done wrong, it's not that you've been sent away and kicked out. Come back. You know, the way back is there. Use it. It still means you should be aware of what you've done wrong. You know, it doesn't mean that it was right. You know, you have to be aware and then improve yourself. I think that is the essence of the changes in the Ne'ilah. These are the changes. In the year of Darwin, I noted here, we are aware that we are descended from the monkeys and the gorillas. At the same time, we are also aware that we have come quite a way from since then. We're not there yet, but we're getting ever closer and got to work on it.
The last changes on page
564
in
Avinu Malkeinu,
where you also have the
Chot
Meni. Yes, yes.
And also in the Sim Shalom.
Yeah. And then we have the Kaddish. Then we have the last Kaddish, which we call the Sukkot Kaddish, which is then moving towards the next festival. The problem with the Shema, one problem with the Shema at the end, is that you're not supposed to repeat the Shema. God is one, and if you say it twice, you may refer to different divinities, different gods. So you never do that. The Adonai Adonai El Rachum V'Chanun is an exception. You never also use the double term. If you have Adonai Elohim, it's already doubtful, but that's biblical. Again, avoiding any some that could give you the impression of being more than one divinity.
That's also in the Talmud. It says that there is one of the demon kings goes overpaired. So that's why it's a problem of drinking four cups of wine, because it's also a devil. So that's the same sort of
gnosis. Well, you have Zoroastrianism. You know, the forces of dark and the forces of light and good and bad, and, you know, is it all one or like
the two colors? Yeah. Two